So we're going to begin with the history of Mechiras Chametz. But before that, I want to tell you a quick story that happened with in the third floor, there's a small base medrash, which is still there. And the Kol Elyon used to learn there. So Rabbi Shech, there used to be before cell phones, there was a payphone right outside of that base medrash. And when somebody wanted to call Rav Shechter, they would call that payphone and we asked Pete to the Rav and he'd come out. So Rav Shechter gets a call and says, hello. He says, hi, this is Rabbi so-and-so from, I don't know, if it's somewhere in Cleveland, Cincinnati, Chicago, somewhere in the Midwest. And one of my balabatim has a dairy farm. Okay. And he has a cow that is pregnant, mazel tov, shatov mitzlachas, but it's the first pregnancy and therefore it's expecting its bechor behema tahora. And therefore, we want to know how to sell it to the guy to enable the behema that will be born not to have kedushas bechor. Because if it does, it's going to be very difficult in modern times to have a animal that has kedushas bechor on your dairy farm in the middle of Kansas, Iowa, whatever that is. So Rabbi Shata said, oh, no problem. Just sell it with the same kinyanim. He's talking to a rabbi, a shul rabbi. Sell it to the guy with the same kinyanim that you sell your mechiras chametz with. It's the same halacha. And the rabbi responded, Rabbi Shachter, do you mind just reminding me how those kinyanim work? So that was the story. I don't want any of you to be caught in that situation of not knowing, being an experienced rabbi and not knowing how to sell chametz properly. Or Bechor Behema Tahara, but we're going to get to that a little bit later. But let's talk about the history, the halachic history of how the Mechiras Chametz developed to the situation that we have today. So there is a Mishnah in Pesachim that says, Mocher Lenachri, that if you want to get rid of your Chametz, all you have to do is Mocher Lenachri. So it sounds like Mechiras Chametz has been around since the time of the Mishnah, or well before that. But it gets a little more complicated, because the Tosefta in Pesachim, Beis Yud Beis, writes, do you want to see the sources as I go through them? Inside, I share my screen. I'll share the screen if you want to look in, you can. There you go. So the Tosefta tells the story of a Jew and a Yid, a Jew and a guy who are going on at a boat. And you can imagine that when you're traveling on a boat, you're on a boat for a few days or a few weeks. When my father graduated while you were in 1955 and he went to Eretz Yisrael for the first time, there was a three-week boat ride to Eretz Yisrael, 3 weeks to get to Eretz Yisrael. My mother went a few years later, in her junior year of Stern College. And when she went, there was only 2 weeks to get to Eretz Yisrael. But if you're on a boat going wherever you're going, you could be on a boat for 3 weeks at a time. And if one of those weeks is going to be Pesach, that means you're not going to be able to have your chametz. The problem is you're going to need food afterwards. So you're in a very tough situation. This is somewhat similar to the situation that we think of ourselves in. So this is a situation where we find that a person is going to want to sell their chametz and get it back after Pesach, so they're going to have food to eat for the last leg of their journey. Says the Tosefta, no problem. Hareza mocher l'nachri, v'nosam v'matana, you sell it, you give it as matana. Ah, says the Tosefta, a new thing that we didn't see in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just said sell to a guy, but didn't say you could buy it back. V'chozer v'lokech mimeno l'achra Pesach. So Tosefta is the first one to tell us that not only could you, of course you could sell it, that we know, that gets rid of it, but you could even buy it back. The problem is, uvilvad shiyitnu lo b'matana kamura. The lashon of Tosefta is that it has to be a complete sale. It can't be a matana amanas lahachzir. It can't be, I'm selling it to you for a week. That's very dangerous. You're selling it to you a mechira gemura forever. Now, that's the lashon of the Tosefta. But if you look at the Ritva has a little bit of a different version of Tosefta that makes life very difficult. He quotes the same story that you're allowed to sell to a guy and you tell the guy, I'm going to buy it back from you after Pesach. But the Lashon, this version of the Tosefta, says, Uvilvad shelo ya'arim. You can't do harama. So what does it mean? You could sell to a guy. Both you and he know that you're going to buy it back, but you can't do it with a harama, with trickery. What's the trickery? What could be the trickery? Look at what the Ritva says, and this is going to scare you, gentlemen. Avalim herim v'hu, what's the harama? Rogil lasos kein b'chol shanim. Lim kor l'goy kodem ha-pesach, v'litol achar ha-pesach. The harama is that you do this every year. Every year you sell to the guy before Pesach, and you buy it back from him. It's not like a regular mechira. When you buy something in a store, you buy it. You're not going to return it a week later, unless you're buying on Amazon. normal sales is you buy something. But if you're going to buy it and then we know that you're going to sell it back a week later, wait a second. If you do that once in a while, fine. Once in a blue moon, you have to have a trip that happens to take place over Pesach, fine. But if you're doing it every year, that's harama. That's not allowed. So wait a second. If that's the case, isn't that sort of what we do? We sell our chametz and we buy it back and we do it every year. That's a harama. The Tosefta says we're not allowed to do that. So we're in a little bit of a jam. Beis Yosef raised this point and says, Taka, this is the version of this Tosefta is the Bahag's version of Vajl Yarim. Says the Beis Yosef, you know what? I'll tell you what Shelo Yarim means. It doesn't mean that you can't do it every year. That's not the harama that we're talking about. When we say that you can't do harama, says the Beis Yosef, what it means is you can't sell it al tnai. You can't sell the mechametz al tnai that you're going to sell it back to me a week later, right? Which is really what we want. We want the guy to sell it back to us a week later. It'll make our lives much easier. I don't want to have to go to the store a week later and reinvent my pantry and reinvent my kitchen. So maybe it's just easier for me to sell it to the guy with a tnai that he has to sell it back to me later. That's the harama, says Beis Yosef. Not like the Ritva says that the harama is you can't do it every year, because if that were the case, we'd be in big trouble. So therefore, we're going to be lenient and say that the harama that the Tosefta means just means you can't sell it all tonight, but it's okay if you do it every year. Not like the Ritva. That's how we'll be making, like the Beis Yosef says. Okay, so this was the model of Mechiras Chametz that took place. You sold to a guy. In exceptional case situations, when you're on a boat, you sold to a guy with the hope that he would, the hope or even the expectation that he would sell it back to you, but you wouldn't do it with a tanai. But there's a very important line that the Shulchan Aruch writes about. And how do we paskin, of course? This is the basis of the Shulchan Aruch also paskins. If you sell it to a guy, even though you know he's not going to touch and he'll sell it back to you after Pesach, it's fine as long as mutter, look at the end of the Shulchan Aruch in Taf Mem Chesif Gimel, uvavad shi'etner lo matana gemura belo shum tnai. And it's very important that the guy tries to, right, the guy sort of knows what you're going to be doing with him. He knows you're going to sell today. You're going to want it back 7 days later after Pesach. You have to be so careful that he understands that this is a gemura chaluta. This is an absolute gemara, no ifs, an absolute mechira, no ifs, no ands, no buts. It's an eternal sale. Yeah, maybe after Pesach, he'll sell it back to you, but that's a new transaction. It's not like this is only a 7 day sale. No, if it's only a 7 day sale, then we're in big trouble. Comes to Trumas Hadashan. And we're going to see this is Paskin L'Halacha. Trumas Hadashan, two places, says, when he talks about Mechiras Chametz, the Trumas Hadashan says twice, I want to clarify that when you sell the chametz to the guy and it's out of your house, you could make this agreement that he'll be able to sell to you after. He'll sell it back to you afterwards. But when the Trumas Hadashan presents this question, the way he presents it is, if you want to sell it to a guy who's michutz labayis, as a matana, as a mechira, he says it in Trumas Hadashan Siman Kuvchaf, and the same thing in Siman Kuvyates. Here he says that if you want to get rid of your chametz, how do you do it to sell it to the guy? L'aseis l'nachri michutz labayis, with either a matana gemura or a mechira gemura. So what do you see? You see that the Trumas Hadashan is telling us something that's going to not be so good for you and I, because we usually sell the guy the chametz that we have in our kitchens, don't we? Beis Yosef paskins that like this Trumas Hadashan, and Beis Yosef concludes that d'lom mahani nesinas chametz legay ela im kain hu gay michutz labayis. The only time you could do mechiras chametz is if you get your chametz out of the house. To the guy who's out of your house. You can't do mechiras chametz of chametz that's inside your house. This was the model of mechiras chametz for all of Jewish history. You sell to a guy, maybe with the understanding that he'll sell it back to you afterwards, unless that, maybe you wouldn't do that every year, or even if you would do it every year, you would do it without any tanais. But either way, the guy would pick up your chametz, and if he wanted to, if you both agreed a week later, he would bring it back into your house. When I lived in Washington Heights, we had a, even now, we have a, let's say, a cleaning lady or a babysitter. and there's chametz that we don't want. So I simply gave her a big bag on Erev Pesach, a big bag of all the granola bars and all the cookies, and she lifted it up. She took it to her apartment, and a week after Pesach, maybe she brought it back. I don't remember if she did or didn't, but whatever she wanted to bring back, she could bring back. Sell back, give back, whatever it is. But that was, she took it to her house. The problem is, this problem arose in the time of the Bach. Klal Yisrael got into the liquor business. And there's a reason for that. In Poland, Jews were not permitted to do many. This, you know, this going back to the 1600s. The Jews were not permitted to participate in various businesses. But one business that was often given as license to the Jews was to own the tavern in the town and to sell liquor. And because of that, Jews got into the liquor business. Now, if we are going to be following, and here we're dealing with people's entire livelihood, their entire wealth was in the store of a liquor, of barrels of liquor in their basements. And barrels of liquor obviously are not so easily, you know, transported. And the need to sell was great because it was their whole parnasa. So Klal Yisrael, following the psak of the Truas Hadashin as passed in the Shulchan Aruch, I was going to be in trouble. How are you going to sell? You're going to have the guy lift up these dozens, you know, 50 barrels from your basement and take them out of his house, take them somewhere else, and a week later, hopefully he'll bring them back. That's basically untenable. So the Bach has a chiddush. The Bach, and he's the first one who really discusses this, and he tells you that where our business is b'yayin sraf with schnapps, and you can't sell to a guy who's out of the house as the Shulchan Aruch requires, I have a heter. Look at the heter that the Bach says. Yesh lahatir binyan zeh sheyimkor legoy kol chamish shebecheder. I'll sell the guy my basement. I'm sorry, I'll sell the guy all the chamish in my basement, but I will also sell the guy the basement itself. So what did we just achieve, according to the Bach? That the guy didn't only buy the chametz, as we've been doing for all of Jewish history. Now we have the guy buying the chametz and the room. Oh, so then whose room is it in? Oh, it's in the guy's room. That's exactly what the Shulchan Aruch said we need. That's what Shulchan Aruch said we need. It has to go out of my house into his house. Guess what? I just made my basement is now rented out to Mr. Guy. But if that's the case, and listen to this, gentlemen, says the Bach, if the whole way we fulfill the requirement of selling to a guy outside our house is by renting the house to the guy, the kitchen, the basement, the pantry where we keep our chametz, if that's part of what enables me to do this mechiritz, what has to be the case? I have to actually rent him the room. If I rent him the room, he obviously has to have the key, because if he's renting the room, then he has to have the key to the room, right? You can't rent somebody an apartment. If you're going to do an Airbnb and rent an apartment from somebody or a house from somebody and they don't give you the key, that wasn't a rental. Therefore, the Bach requires mi'ikar hadin, mi'utzarach limsar mafteach, because in lokein, you're renting the guy the basement, but you're not giving the key to get into the basement, how in the world is this rental of the basement going to work? The guy is not going to have smichas das, that it's a mechira, that he's getting the basement. And this would be a problem of, like we saw earlier from the Lashon, the version of the Tosefta, that you can't do harama. To sell a guy the chametz out of your house by renting him the basement, and you're not giving him the key to that very basement, that's a harama, that's trickery. And that should be puzzle, that should be puzzle, that shouldn't work. So why is this important to know? Because one criteria when people come to sell chametz with you is you want to make sure that the guy has access. You want him to have the key. You want him. Now, a lot of people now have combinations on their door. They don't want to necessarily give this random guy who the rabbi is selling with a combination, but there has to be some way that the guy could access it easily. Like maybe however you configure that. For example, I always make sure that there's somebody in the tri-state area that will be able to access it. I mean, even if the next door neighbor doesn't have the key, but there's somebody, if you're going to Los Angeles for Pesach, you're going to Florida for Pesach, to Orlando, you're going to Spain for some fancy program, or Arizona, and your house is in New York and you sell to the guy in New York, and no one in New York has your key, so what kind of mechira's chametz was that? Forget about the chametz. I'm talking about the mechira of the room that we're going to need in order to facilitate the mechira of the chametz. So therefore, yes.
Wouldn't you say there's a difference between selling like a liquor store back in the day versus selling a bedroom or a closet room?
Saying that it's weird to sell a closet or it's weird to sell a bedroom?
It's less chutzpah bias than selling a store.
No, I don't know if they lived in their taverns. I don't know if it's chutzla bayis just means that it's not where you are. It's where the
Okay,
guy is.
and what would you say in terms of, I guess, like the intent? Like, I feel like most people, when they're selling their closet, they're not like, I mean, do we care about one's,
So you're asking a
intent?
very good question. What happens if people don't really mean what they're supposed to be meaning? The rabbi is very
Yeah.
firm. Rabbi has everything worked out, but the Baal Batim don't always realize that the rabbi is renting. He's not just, I came to the rabbi to sell my chametz. The rabbi wants to lease my house, my lease the locations in my house. What right does he, the rabbi, have for that? So when I represent, I don't sell chametz. I act as a broker to sell my clients' chametz, my congregants' chametz to the guy. I'm just a middleman. I don't, meaning I'm not a wholesaler. I'm a shadchan. I'm a broker. So when I act as a shliach for my constituents, my congregants, to sell their chametz, I tell my congregants very clearly, I want you to appoint me your shliach, not just to sell your chametz, but also to lease the locations where the chametz is sold. Now, are they serious or not serious? Well, I told them and they signed their name. So what's the halacha when you sign your name on something and you didn't really mean it?
It's still good.
Of course, if you signed a contract and said no, but I didn't mean it, if that
Yeah.
was an argument that would be accepted in court, then every contract would be destroyed. If you sign your name on something like on a power of attorney, which is what do you sign when you go to the rabbi, you sign a power of attorney document, which we'll talk about later. That is basically you're saying what it says. Just
Do they
because you
have to
didn't
give the
think about
key
it, that's your
though?
problem.
Do
In
they have to give
halacha
like
terms, we say dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. So I think the Chasam Sofer, if I'm not mistaken, is the one who answers this, your question. And this is what he says. It says dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. Even though they don't really think it's so serious and it really works, and dvarim shebelev einam dvarim. And therefore, even though you said you wanted to appoint me to sell it, and you signed a document that says you sell it, and you in your mind you said you didn't have in mind. I don't care what you had in your mind. We don't live in your mind. We live in the world of Asiya. In the world of Asiya, you sold your chametz and
And
rented the house.
is one required to give the rabbi the code like to the house, the
So there are some
combination, like
rabbanim
this?
who say, please write down your code or please leave a key with me. I don't want to hold anyone's keys. And therefore, I make it a policy that I don't hold anyone's keys. It's just a matter of policy. I make sure that there's somebody in the tri-state area that has access to the key. Or they're reachable nowadays. You have cell phones, you could reach people and you could get the code very easily within, a few hours. So that's what we do. Okay. Now,
Rabbi Rolian,
yes, sir.
do you feel the need to explicitly tell the Baal Batim that if the goy comes knocking on your door, you have to let him in?
Sure, sure.
Would you
And
say
I don't always have time to tell everybody that, but sometimes when I have more time with the Baal HaBas, I'll say, a guy might knock on your door. In fact, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it was in the papers. It's a picture of me in the local papers. We took a Gentile and knocked on, I picked one house that was, a very popular person who everybody would know, or two or three houses. And we had this Gentile knock on the door in the middle of Chol HaMoed. He didn't know. I came with two, Rabbi Eitan Feiner, myself, maybe another one of the Rabbanim, local Rabbanim. We knocked on this guy's door and we said, hi, Eddie's here for his chametz. The guy opened the door. He was flabbergasted. And not only that, but he had to open up his chametz tikka cabinet in his kitchen. His wife was going crazy. That's the chametz cabinet. Don't open that. Sorry, it's his. So he tried to get a cup for it. It needs to be a plastic cup, obviously. We did that. Do you have to do that? No, most of them don't. But I think it's good for every once in a while to do that. But that's a more of a we did it as a photo op, but it's not ma'akiv, of course. Now, this situation of the key is so important that there was a ma'isa. The Prima Gun tells a ma'isa where you had a Jew who had this liquor business and he sold it to the guy. The guy was very excited. He said, "I now own a basement of liquor." So what did he do on the first night of Pesach? While the Jews were having their Seder upstairs, he was in the basement drinking himself to his heart's content because he just became a rich man, right? He just became the owner of hundreds of thousands of dollars of liquor. He drank and drank and drank and, but he had the key. The Jew gave him the key. The next night, the Jew was very nervous that this was going to happen again. So they asked the Prima Gadim, could we take away the key? So, meaning, while he's drunk the first night, could we take away the key so he can't do this the second night? So Prima Gadim says, you can't take away the key. But the Prima Gunner says you could have the policeman come and take away the key, because they knew that this Gentile who was drinking wasn't going to have the money to pay for that which he was drinking. So it wasn't just a matter of, you know, to pay back, which we'll talk about afterwards. After Pesach, when they have to pay back what they bought, they have to pay the cash for what they bought, which we'll speak about afterwards. The Prima Gunner understood that this Gentile wouldn't have had the money to do so, and therefore they could ask the policeman to do it. Okay. Now, the way... we're going to talk about how the transaction actually works at the end of this year. What I want to go through now is what are those kinyanim we mentioned that when you transfer the chametz to the guy, you do kinyanim just like you do when you transfer a pidyon petach hamor, the mother of a bechor behema tahora. So before we do that, we have to make clear two things. Number one, you're selling the chametz. Number two, you're also to fulfill this din of the Trumas Hadesha and pass in the Shulchan Aruch. The Bach tells us you also have to rent. If you can't actually give the guy the chametz to take out of your house into his house, you also separately and aside from selling the chametz, you also have to sell the house where the chametz is located, or the basement, or the kitchen, or the pantry, or the shelf. Now we're going to see later you don't actually have to sell the house or the pantry or the kitchen to the guy. It's sufficient to rent the location, the house or the kitchen or the pantry or the basement to the guy. So what you're really doing when you're selling chametz, when you're the rabbi and you're going to be sitting with the congregant, he's just going to be appointing you the shliach to do two things. When you're going to sit with the guy, you're going to do the following two things. You're going to sell the chametz forever and ever without any tnais. And separate and apart from that, you're going to rent, not sell, but rent to the guy, lease to the guy, the locations where the chametz will be sold for a period of 8 days and no more. Those are the two transactions that you will do as a rabbi, you will do with the guy on behalf of your congregants. So now let's go to the second part of the shiur, which is to figure out what are those kinyanim that you need when you sell a bechor behema tahora. Now, why is it important? Why am I correlating bechor behema tahora to mechiras chametz? The answer is because they're both a kinyan of metaltalin. And the rule is for metaltalin, that you're going to have to be kona from a Jew in a certain way, and you're going to have to be kona from a guy, and we'll see it a different way, as we'll see shortly. And however you're kona metaltalin, well, a bechor behema tahora is metaltalin, and chametz is metaltalin, so they're going to have the same parameters, as opposed to karka. Karka is going to work differently, and therefore, when you're going to be selling the chametz and renting the land, you're going to be doing two different things, possibly with different kinyanim, one for each, or maybe more than one for each, as we'll see right now. So, first, we'll talk about kinyan kesef. That would be the most convenient way to transfer anything. The guy wants to buy my liquor. The guy wants to buy my Cheerios. Great. So let him give me money, and I'll sell him my Cheerios. So Pasuk says in Vayikra, "V'chisimkro mimkar." The next word is la'amisecha, to your friend, to your brother, to your friend, to your comrade. Okonom yad amisecha. And this is the issur d'orais, the pasuk that talks about the issur of hona'as mamon, overcharging. And here we have a machlokas, what this pasuk is telling us. Gemara Bava Metzia'in Zatmem Zayin has a machlokas, Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish. Reb Yochanan says, Dvar Tarmos Kanos. If it's talking about V'chisimkru Memkala Misacha, it sounds like you're giving something to him, Okonomi Ala Misacha, you're just giving him money or taking back money. And therefore, the pasuk is telling us that money is kona midoraisa. Reish Lakish says, no, we're talking about handing the item over, not handing money over for the item, but handing the item over, which is mashicha, is midoraisa. So what do we have here? We have machlokas or biyochna Reish Lakish, if this pasuk is talking about maos, and therefore maos are konos, or according to Reish Lakish, the pasuk does not tell us that money is kona, but in order to be kona, you have to do a mashicha. Now, why is this important? It's important because in the old version of Mechiras Chametz, when you would sell to the guy, he'd give you money, and then he'd take it to his house. You had both of those elements. So it really wouldn't be important to figure out who you're paskin like. The problem is nowadays, when you're selling the Chametz, but it's going to stay in your pantry, it's going to stay in the back of your basement freezer, it's going to stay in your liquor cabinet, in your in your dining room, underneath the, the candlesticks. So he's not doing mashicha there. So if we hold maos konos, it's going to be very easy. Maos konos. But if you hold like Reish Lakish that mashicha works, then it's going to be more problematic. But before we figure out who we paskin like, we have to realize one thing. The Gemara Bechoros tells us, in Gimel and Aleph, that the word in the Torah was la'amisecha, to your fellow Jew. That means with machlokas Rabbi Yochanan, let's pick Rabbi Yochanan right now. Rabbi Yochanan says, this pasuk tells us that ma'os konos. But the Torah said la'amisecha, which means what? That ma'os konos to your fellow Jew, which will mean what? That to a Gentile, ma'os will not be konos. Rather, the opposite, Mashiach would be konos. And let me say Reish Lakish's position. Reish Lakish, who holds that Mashiach is kona, that this pasuk is talking about Mashiach is kona from a la'amisecha to your fellow Jew. That means that for a Gentile, Mashiach is not kona, only ma'os are kona. In other words, what I'm saying now is that whatever you hold, whatever Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish hold, works for a Jew, the exact opposite will work for metaltalin, for a guy. That's what the Gemara in Bechoros says. La'amisecha, v'chisim kurmem kalamisecha, let's say like Reish Lakish, la'amisecha m'mashicha, ha'lo'ovei kuchavim, will be b'kesef. So now, we have to figure out how we paskin, whether Mo's konos or Mashiach's kona for a Jew, and however we conclude will work for a Jew, the opposite will be needed when you need to sell it by Mechiras Chametz, when you need to sell it to a guy. Or the opposite will be needed when you sell the mother of the Bechor Behema Tahara, because you're selling that to a guy. Whatever we hold by the Jew, the opposite will be true for Mechiras Chametz. So how do we hold by a Jew? So Rashi and Kedushin says that a guy is Kona B'Kesef. That means, let me rephrase that. Rashi says, Mashicha is only written by Yisrael. That means Rashi passes like Reish Lakish. That Mashicha is for Yisrael. If Mashicha is for Yisrael, then how do you sell to a guy? By Kesef. So according to Rashi, life was really simple. I want to sell my Cheerios in my pantry to the guy. All I have to do is get $5 for the box of Cheerios. He gives me $5. He doesn't have to lift it up. Okay, separate and apart from that, I'm also going to rent to him the place where it's stored because it has to be out of my house. So he'll give me $5. Listen to this. He'll give me another dollar. He'll give me $5 to buy the Cheerios. He'll give me another dollar to rent my pantry. So he'll give me $6. $5 for the Cheerios, $1 to rent the pantry. And he did Kinyan Kasef. And we just did a Mechiras Chametz. The problem is, even though that's what Rashi holds that a Jew is kona with Mashicha, which means a guy is kona with Mos, Rabbeinu Tam says not like that. Rabbeinu Tam says that we don't paskin like Reish Lakish. Who do we always paskin like? No machlok is Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Kaimel and Rabbi Yochanan, we always paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? That for a Jew is kona with Mos. Mos are konos. Which means for a guy, Mashiach is kona. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, life is going to be very difficult. If I want to sell the Cheerios on a Doraisa level to the guy, what do I have to do? He has to walk into my house and sell and lift up the Cheerio box. Or, in other words, if I have a basement full of barrels of liquor, the only way, according to Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, since a Jew sells and buys from another Jew, with money, a guy will have to buy and sell from a Jew with Mashiach. He's going to have to come to my basement. He's going to have to be like Hulk Hogan. He's going to have to lift up every barrel of liquor in my basement in order to have Mashiach Kona. So what should we do? That's going to be very problematic. I would just say, I hope we hold like Rashi. That'll make life easier. Because according to Rashi, Jews have to do Mashiach, but Goyim just have to do Mos Kona. So just give me money for the Cheerios. So how do we paskin? So Tosfos Avodah Zarah Ayin Aleph says very simply, Tosfos Ayin Aleph in Avodah Zarah says simply, when you sell to a guy, there's machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, whether you need Mashiach or Kesef, Just do both, and you'll cover all your bases. So when you sell this animal to the guy, what should you do? Two things. Do both. It's very easy. When you have an animal, the guy will give a dollar for the mother, and besides that, he'll pull the mother's reins and walk her a little bit, and he did a meshicha on the mother, and now the guy was kona this mother animal. But you realize that this is going to be very, very, very difficult when it comes to our version of Mechiras Chametz, where we're trying not to give it to, we want to avoid giving it to the guy, but we want the guy to be kona everything that we have and just leave it in our houses or our basements or our liquor cabinets or our pantries. The problem is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, he has to do a Mashiach. So we're in real big trouble. So what I just said was the main point of the shir, and that is, the whole goal of all the different kinyana that we are going to learn right now is to solve one problem. That in order to do a real bona fide hakna of metaltlin, namely chametz to goyim, you have to, if you want to do it with certainty, the only way you could definitely, you don't want to get into like, it's a suffix mechira to of your chametz. That we don't want, when you're dealing with oni chametz and issur d'oraisa, you don't want to say, I fulfilled Rashi's opinion on how to sell chametz, but Tosus holds I didn't sell my chametz. That's really bad. You want to definitely get rid of your chametz. So you have to do kesef and meshicha, but meshicha is not practical. So what we need to do in the next 15, 20 minutes is find out five other kinyanim or four other kinyanim that we could do that will hopefully supplant, take over the need, take over the role of whatever meshicha was accomplishing, because meshicha is not possible. I'm going to repeat this again because this is a main point of the shir. The main point of today's shir is that to be makna to a guy without any shailas, without any sveikas, you need both kesef and mashicha. However, since mashicha does not work, we're going to say, let's do a whole host, a whole bunch of other kinyanim that hopefully at least one of them will work and take place of that mashicha that really should be done. And between doing kesef and one of these other kinyanim, hopefully they will successfully work. Will it definitely work? I don't know. I hope so. Let's see what the other kinyanim are. We'll see what the other kinyanim are. And after we see what the kinyanim are, we'll see what the problems with each of these kinyanim are. So going back to the world of Behechor Behema Torah, which is really where all the Rishonim discuss this shaila of transferring metaltlin to a guy. They don't talk about Mechiras Chametz, because the original version of Mechiras Chametz was that you just handed it over. So there's nothing really to talk about. The post of the Rishonim talk about selling a Bechor. So the Rush says, I have a very simple solution. The Rush says, since it's not always easy to sell, to go to the farm, to get the animal, to pull it, it's not always convenient, why don't you just do a kinyan chatzar? Meaning, I will rent, you know, I want to get out of the suffix that we just spoke of, the suffix of whether you need mashiach or kesef. I have a very good idea. Why don't you just rent the guy a piece of land. Why don't you rent the guy a piece of land where your animal is sitting on? So now he owns that piece of land. Now, it's important to realize that even though we said when you sell metaltlin to a guy, we don't know if you need kesef or mashicha, and that suffix is the problem that we have. How do you do mashicha if it's very difficult to attain? When it comes to selling land, that's something that we know definitively. That's something that we know definitively. I think I have it here. The Shulchan Aruch says, and we'll come back in a minute. The Shulchan Aruch says, how are you kona land? Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat talks about how you kona land. So the way you kona land, listen carefully, the way you kona land is however you come in chazaka, ela bishtar, im nesinas hakesef. You need shtar and kesef to be kona land. But to rent land, it's even easier. Schiras with a guy, all you need is kesef. That means if I want to rent land to a Gentile, all I need is kesef. If I want to sell land, maybe I need shtar and kesef. Also not so hard, but it's harder to sell. If I rent land to a guy, then I only need kesef. That means he gives me a dollar and the land is rented to him. Once the land is rented to him, well, if he owns the land, what could he do with his land? He could be kona that which is sitting on top of it. What's that called? Kinyan. Chatzer. And that's what the Rush says. The Rush says exactly this point. The best thing to do with the Bechor, Behema, with the mother of the Bechor, she's pregnant, she's about to give birth, simply take a pruta from the guy and rent to him, yakne lo hamakam shebehema medesham, and bimakne the land to the guy. Now the guy owns the land where the animal is sitting on, where the animal is standing on. What could you do now? You could be makna the animal that's sitting on the land. Why do you, what do you accomplish? You accomplished avoiding having to do an actual mashiach. You could be sitting in your office in Chicago in a big fancy skyscraper in downtown Chicago, and your Gentile buyer is sitting opposite you. He's your lawyer, let's say, for your dairy farm, and you have a 600-acre dairy farm, you know, 150 miles away in Iowa. And you're sitting in your fancy conference room with your lawyer sitting opposite you, your Gentile lawyer, and he will give you a nickel, and he'll buy that piece of land under which the pregnant mother is standing. Remember, he's in your office in downtown Chicago in the skyscraper. He's not on the dairy farm. And he gives you kesef. He can give you kesef to buy the animal. And besides kesef to buy the animal, he's not going to do the mashicha. So instead of mashicha, you know what he'll do? He'll just do a kinyan chatzer on that animal by renting the land where the animal is found. And therefore, the land that is underneath the animal belongs to this Gentile lawyer opposite you in the conference room. And he will therefore acquire the behema that's sitting on the land that is now his. So he'll have a kinyan chatzer. That sounds like a very creative rush. The rush is really creative. He figured out a way to be kona something without having to do mashiach on it. Great. And that's what we're going to do, the same exact thing when it comes to mechiras chametz. Again, ideally, we want to get kesef and mashiach. Mashiach is impossible. So we will replace mashiach with doing the kesef plus kinyan chatzer. So how does that practically apply in chametz? Well, the guy will give me money for the chametz. Separate and aside from that, the guy will give me a second piece of money, a second coin, a second dollar to rent the pantry where the chametz is located. Now that he owns the location where the chametz is located, what could he do on that location? He could acquire the chametz on that land. And now the chametz will be his, not only through kinyan kesef, but also through the kinyan chatzer, that because the Cheerios are sitting in his pantry. So I just told you that we have to rent land. Hold on one second, Leo. You have to rent the land, the pantry, to the guy for now two reasons. Originally, we learned that you have to rent the land because the chametz has to be out of your house in his house. So the Bach tells therefore rent to him the pantry. Now we have another reason. You have to rent to him the pantry so that it will be his pantry for him to effectuate a kinyan chatzer on those Cheerios that are in that pantry. That is the kinyan chatzer solution. Go ahead, Leo. What's your question?
I'm just not understanding why you need the kinyan chatzer in terms of acquire. Why do we need to acquire the food via the chatzer?
Okay. The kinyan chatzer? So you tell me, how do you want the guy to acquire the food? How does a guy acquire
kesef? Just with kesef.
That's a quid to Rash. Rabbeinu Tam says that's wrong. Rabbeinu Tam says kesef doesn't work at all, and only Mashiach works.
So according to Rabbeinu Tam, what? The kinyan chatzer, therefore, what?
That will sell it to the guy. Again, this is going back to that point. I told you that very important point a few minutes ago, and I said this is the main point of the shir. The main point of the shir is that in order to transfer something to a guy without any shilas, you need both kesef and mashicha. The problem is that mashicha is not practical. So you're going to do kesef, but that only works for Rashi. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you didn't do anything. So you're going to have to find some other kinyan to enable you to sell your chametz to the guy. So we're going to look around for kinyanim. Well, let's try chatzer now. So yeah, you did kesef, which worked for Rashi, and chatzer is another way to sell the chametz.
So then do we need kesef at all?
Excellent question. That's exactly what I'm going to get to now. So now you'll tell me, hey, the Rosh just told me that I should do a kinyan chatzer. Now that I did kinyan chatzer, I don't have to do kesef at all. Just do kinyan chatzer. The answer is that chatzer is not so simple. And this brings us to two questions. Number one, pre-Shemitah question. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, are you allowed to sell a chatzar to a guy? You have a problem of los tachanim. The Shulchan Aruch says in Hilchas Avodas Kachai and Yoredeya, ein mochin lehem batim esadas Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's not such a problem because you're allowed to rent it. Ava maskil lehem batim. You're allowed to rent less. You're allowed to rent houses. Fields you're not allowed to even rent. But a house you're allowed to rent. So, okay, you're allowed to rent. But there's a different problem. There's a different problem. And this is the Ketzos HaChoshen's problem with Kinyan Chatzer, a very famous Ketzos. Now, Kinyan Chatzer, what's the mechanism through which Kinyan Chatzer works? So, you all learned at the beginning of Bamitzia, we have Machlokes, Amorim, Marasav HaChatzer Mishum Yad, and Marasav HaChatzer Mishum Shlichas. So, those are the two ways that a Kinyan Chatzer is Kona. Leo, if we assume that a Kinyan Chatzer works via Shlichas, that means the guy who wants to buy the Cheerios or the cow has a chatzer, owns a pantry, owns a piece of the dairy farm, and that pantry or the piece of the dairy farm will be his shliach, the guy's shliach, to acquire the cow, the mother cow, or the Cheerios sitting on that piece of land. Does that work? After all, we have a very important rule in the Gemara in Kedushin. Thank you. Ein shlichus la'akam. The pasuk of shlichus is from pasuk of Truma. Gam ma'atem b'nei bris, av shlichachem b'nei bris. Shlichus, a guy doesn't have shlichus. So Leo, if the whole reason why a guy is going to be kona is with a chatzer is only mitzam shlichus, ask the Ketzos HaChoshen, well, hello, when it comes to Mechiras Chametz, which is to a guy, excuse me, the guy wants to be kona with his chatzer. Wait a second, chatzer doesn't work for a guy. If you hold that chatzer is mitam shlichus, and a guy is not in the parsha shlichus, it's not a bar shlichus, a guy does not have kinyan chatzer. And now we're up the creek without a paddle. Because kesef, I did, that worked. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, you need Mashiach. Mashiach is too difficult to do. So I did Chatzar. Chatzar asks the Ketzos HaChoshen can't work for a guy either because a guy is not bar shlichus. A Chatzar is mitam shlichus. And this is the question that the Ketzos HaChoshen asks specifically on this rush regarding Mechiras Chametz. T'mili milsa, da Chatzar kona behema o Chametz midin shlichus. Ve'anan kaimolon de'ein shlichus la'akam. And therefore, we are going to be in big trouble again. Again, the whole point of this shiur is to prove that you have to have both kesef and mashicha. The problem is you're not going to be able to do mashicha, so we're going to have to find a substitute. I can't find mashicha to make a vaday kinyan on the chametz, so I'm going to do something else. Chatzar, well, chatzar has its own problem. Chatzar is might be mitam shlichus, and a guy doesn't have shlichus, so a guy doesn't have a kinyan chatzar. So you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to find another kinyan. And the other kinyan that we'll talk about now is a kinyan agav. So, by the way, even though I just told you this problem of the ketzos, we do a kinyan chatzar anyway, because maybe it does work. Maybe it's chatzar mitam, yeah, not mitam shlichus. So we're going to do a kinyan chatzar. But we're still not sure that I sold my chametz effectively, so I'm going to have to look for yet another kinyan. So I'm doing kesef. Mashicha is impossible because he can't go into every basement and every kitchen. So I did kinyan. Now I'm going to do kinyan. Kesef, Shmashicha wasn't possible, so I still don't know if it's still a suffix. I'm also going to do Chatzar. Chatzar might not work either, so I'm now going to do yet another kinyan. Now I'm going to do the third kinyan. That's kinyan agav. And this is what the Ketzos says, that's what I really like. I like kinyan agav. Now, what's kinyan agav? Kinyan agav is not kinyan chatzar. Kinyan agav, kinyan chatzar works for something when you own property, you could be kona whatever's on top of the property. Kinyan agav is something very different. Kinyan agav says that when you are makna things that are chashav, alongside the hakna of things that are chashav, you could shtup in things that are less chashav. Let me give you an example. You have a cream cheese bagel. You're having a bagel with cream cheese on it. What's chashav? The bagel. What's not chashav? The cream cheese. So what happens when you make a bracha on the bagel, you say hamotzi on the bagel, and you say shahak on the cream cheese, right? Wrong. You only make a bracha on the hamotzi, on the bagel. Why don't you make a bracha on the cream cheese? Well, the bagel is the chashev, and the cream cheese is the tefil. So the tefil gets schlepped along with the bagel. Says Reb Shimon Shkap, which we'll understand better yet in a minute, that's exactly how Kinyan Agav works. Kinyan Agav means Agav Metaltalin. Your kone, the Metaltalin, Agav, the karka. Karka is real estate. The word real estate means exactly like the words indicate. It's more real. It's more chashav. It's real estate. And you have that concept in the Mishnayos also, that it's a chashav, that it's a more chashav item to have karka. And metaltalin are always less chashav. If you're doing a kinyan on the chashav item, if I makne to a guy, let me rephrase that. If I'm makne to a guy some karka, I could schlep along in that kinyan some things that are less chashav than karka, and they will get schlepped along. What are those? Those are metaltalin. So what that really means is the following. What it means is that I will, when I want to sell the chametz to the guy, besides selling my chametz, listen to this. I'm going to sell him a piece of land. You hear this? Besides selling my Cheerios, I'm going to sell him a piece of land. Not because now that the land is his, he could be kind of the Cheerios that's on the land. That's chatzar. No. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to sell him a piece of land. And as I'm selling him land, what's going to come along with it? What's going to be tuffel to that? At the Maisa Kinyan of the Ikur Kinyan of the real estate, as I'm being maknet in the real estate, something less important is going to be schlepped along. He's going to acquire the Cheerios along with it. Now, the Cheerios could be anywhere in the world. The land could be anywhere in the world. I could sell him a piece of Dalet Amis. I could sell him a little piece of land in my backyard in the Five Towns. And with that, I will give him something less important, like my yacht that's parked in the marina in Dubai, in the United Arab Emirates. I have a really nice yacht. I don't know if you've ever been there, been to the marina. There's a big yacht there. It's Rabbi Orleans. And I want to be makna to the guy. I'm trying to figure out how. What kinyan could I do? He can't do a mashicha because he's, you know, he lives in the city. So we figured out a solution. I'm going to be makna him Dalet Amis in my backyard, which is easy. I'm going to rent to him. In fact, I only have to rent. I don't even have to, for kinyan agav, you don't have to sell. I'll rent to him my Dalet Amis in my backyard in the Five Towns. He'll give me, I don't know, $10. I'll rent to him that. As I'm renting to him my backyard, the Dalet Amis in my backyard, schlepped along with that kinyan is the yacht. Is the yacht on the backyard? No. Kinyan chatzar would need that it has to be situated on top of the place that you're buying. And kinyan chatzar happens one after the other. First you own the land, and then since you own the land, anything that's on the land, you could also be kona. Anything that comes onto the land, you're kona. Here, the two kinyanim happen simultaneously. As I'm giving you the kinyan, as I'm giving you the karka, which is the chashav part of the kinyan, the less important thing will also be schlepped along, and that's the metaltalin. That's going to be kinyan agav. In fact, the Noda Yehuda says that this is the ikur kinyan when it comes to chametz. That's what this quoted from the Noda Yehuda, that in Prague, the best kinyan that the Noda Yehuda was in Prague, he felt the best kinyan was kinyan agav, and there was no problem on kinyan agav. Now, to understand a little bit about how this kinyan agav works, I think we'll be able to answer a certain question. Kinyan agav is a kinyan midorais or midrabanan, meaning when I'm makna and ikr, that which we say the metaltalin could be schlepped along and could be transferred along with the hakna of the davar ikr, that works midorais or midrabanan. I think I've learned from a pasuk somewhere. What?
Isn't it midrabanan?
It is midrabanan. Yeah. So if it's midrabanan, what obvious question are we going to have?
You could ask, shouldn't that avoid, that shouldn't prevent, that shouldn't work, like since chametz is misgaraisa.
Correct. Exactly. Correct. If it's only an isid midrabanan, if it's only a kinyan midrabanan, so why in the world should Kinyan Agav work? And this is actually the question that the Ksos himself asks. The Ksos says, if it's Daraisa, how should it work? One second. Yes, so the Ksos asks this question. He says, if Kinyan Agav is going to be Darabanan, how can it help you for your Kinyan mid Daraisa that you have to be Makan the Chametz to get it out of your Rishus?
Well, once on the Darabanan level, it works, so then we don't view it as it being in your possession. So it doesn't matter about like an Issur Daraisa. It's just not there. It's not yours.
Good. Okay. You could say that. That's good. That's very good. I'm going to give you another lamdas based on what I mentioned briefly, according to Rav Shimon Shkap. Rav Shimon Shkap has this incredible lamdas of Agav. Agav is that concept of Iker and Tafel. When I have, what is Kinyan Agav? Agav means you do a Kinyan on the Iker, on the real estate, and Agav that, the Metaltalin is slept along. Says Rav Shimon Shkap, that works through the concept of Iker and Tafel. That means, let me ask you a question. When you have cream cheese on a bagel, listen carefully to my Chakira. Is it pshat that the cream cheese doesn't need a bracha? Or is it pshat that the hamotzi is also a bracha on the cream cheese? Let me say the chakir again. When you have a bagel and cream cheese and you make a hamotzi, was pshat that since the cream cheese is tafel, it doesn't need a bracha at all? And you're eating bread that had a bracha and cream cheese that never got a bracha? Or since it's tafel, the bracha of the ikr is chal on the cream cheese, on the tafel also. And the hamotzi that you made on the ikr, that hamotzi is chal on the cream cheese. Meaning the nafkamina is, did you make a bracha on the cream cheese or not? You could say, I know, but I don't need to because it's tafel. Or you could say, yes, I did. But since it's tafel to the hamotzi, it's the hamotzi bracha that was chal on the cream cheese. Ooh, says of Shimon Shkap, the following. If we assume the second way that I'm saying, that cream cheese does need a bracha. What bracha? The hamotzi of the bagel goes on the cream cheese. That means that the so too, that's the analogy, so too, the kinyan of the chutz, the kinyan of the, on the land, the, on the real estate, on the ikka kinyan, is going to be chal on the metaltalin. So it's not that the metaltalin are getting a kinyan derabanan, agav. Agav tells us that a kinyan d'oraisa of the land could be chal on the metaltalin. And therefore you have a kinyan d'oraisa operating on this. You have which kinyan? The rabbis told you that what? That the kinyan d'oraisa of transferring property to the guy will have included in that kinyan d'oraisa, there will be metaltan included in that transfer.
So is that to say that really it's not that it's a kinyan d'oraisa that
exactly. The idea of Agav is a kinyan d'rabanan. But what, am I doing the kinyan d'rabanan on the Cheerios? I'm doing a kinyan d'oraisa on the Cheerios. Yes, it's true. The rabbis are the ones who said that this mechanism works, that the kinyan d'oraisa of the land is what's being chal on the Cheerios. That is true, still mid d'rabanan. But what kind of kinyan am I doing on the Cheerios? Not a kinyan d'rabanan. I'm doing a kinyan d'oraisa. The kinyan of the karka, of the real estate, of the ikr, is itself chal on the tafel, is chal on these metaltalin. So what transferred the chametz to the guy? Not a kinyan agav of the chametz, but a kinyan kesef of the karka. That kesef might not work for metaltalin, but through agav, we do allow the kinyan d'oraisa of that was done on the karka to be chal on these metaltalin, which are tafel themselves. And based on that lamdas of Rav Shimon Shkap, maybe we could answer that. We just answered the Ksos's question, and we now can understand how you do have indeed a kinyan, even though Agav seems to be the Rabbanan, but in this presentation, we showed how it's a kinyan d'arais, it's michal, on the metaltalin, on the chametz, and therefore the chametz could be transferred to the guy.
Rabbi?
Yes, sir.
If I mevatel the chametz, what's the
then it's
issue?
Only the Rabbanan.
It's a Rabbanan, so right. Maybe...
But you're not mevatel. You're probably not mevatel the chametz that you sold. You're mevatel the chametz that you didn't sell. Wow. Should I tell you why? Because if you mevatel it, then it's hefka, right? So how could you sell it? And if you mevatel it, then how are you going to eat it after Pesach? You made a kafir da'ara.
Okay. Thank you.
Excellent question. We showed him ask you a question, Rav Yosef. It's an excellent question. Okay.
Is there any nafkamina for us saying then a kinyan agav is derabanan? Like what practical implication would it have then? Is it just considered, I mean, if you own it on a Daraisa level, then...
So what we just did was a little bit of halakhic gymnastics. I'm not saying that what we just said was simple. It is the concept of kinyanagav is indeed the rabbanon, and we just gave some lumdas based on Shemesh Kav to figure out that even though the concept of agav is the rabbanon, it might still work for a haknaa for mitzvahs daraisa. So that's what we tried to achieve through the lumdas. Okay, now I just told you how kinyanagav works. So I'm doing my kinyan chad. I do my kesef to sell the Cheerios. I also did my chatzer. The Pavas chatzer maybe didn't work because ein shlichas lenachri. So I do my kinyan agav. But I said, wait a second, kinyan agav is only drabanon. That's one problem. We gave a lamdasha answer. I have another problem with kinyan agav. Kinyan agav only works if the seller can transfer land to the guy, and along with the land that he's transferring to the guy, he's also transferring the chametz to the guy along with that land. The land is the ikar hakna to the guy, and batel to that, tafel to that, he'll also transfer the chametz to the guy. Rafael, can I ask you a question? Do you own land? Do you own real estate?
Like me individually?
You individually. No. Rafael, did you own any chametz before Pesach?
This year? I think we did a sale in my apartment.
You did. So that means you had a box of Cheerios or a granola bar somewhere or a Kit Kat that had chametz in it?
Something like that.
Yeah, I agree. You probably did. So how in the world did you sell your chametz? You don't have land with which to be makne your chametz. We just said in order to kinyan agav, you, Rafael, have to sell the guy, give the guy land, sell the guy land, rent the guy land. And along with the land that you're renting to the guy, associated with that land will be a sign that will be less important, like metalton, like the Kit Kat and the granola bar. But if you don't have land, how are you going to do kinyan agav? So if you're dealing with a shul of balabatim who all rent houses or own houses, fine. You could rent a little bit of their backyard, a little bit of their house, and along with it, the metalton also. What if you're dealing with bachurim and yeshiva who don't have land? Or I don't know if we can consider renting their apartments, their dorms either. I don't know if that's called a rental, maybe not, because the yeshiva could switch their dorm rooms if they want.
It's like a sublease business that you're like subleasing the.
In order to sublease something, you have to have the lease. You just told me that you don't have a lease. Oh, you have an apartment. Let's say you're in the dorms. So you don't have a lease. The yeshiva could switch you from room to room every day if they want. Could a homeless guy do mechiras chametz? So the Rashba was asked a fascinating shayla. The Rashba, we're going to answer that question with the following Rashba. The Rashba was asked a shayla. Where do I have this Rashba's question? A chasan promises Kala half of his wealth, right? Ad chatzi hamalchus, just like Achashverosh. And he was makne to her half of his wealth. He was the kinyan agav. And as you could well imagine, the engagement broke off. So what does she say? Okay, I lost my chasan, but at least I got half of his wealth. Right? She ends up with a ring that's her, rightfully hers, with a nice diamond ring, half of his wealth, and now she'll have to go look for a guy. It's going to be much easier for her to find a boy now with all the money that she just got, right? All the boys, like all the yeshiva guys are going to want to marry a girl with a lot of money. So, not so bad. You know what the chassan says? The chassan says, wait a second. I was makah to half my wealth with a kinyan agav, but I don't own any land. And therefore, the kinyan agav had nothing to base on. The whole point of agav is that agav, the kinya, that which I'm giving you karka, I'm giving you the metaltlin along with it, but I don't have karka. So this poor girl sent this question to the Rashba, or this angry chassan.
Isn't half the kingdom, whatever you said, isn't that the karka? Or you're saying...
But he only was makne. No, I guess not. I guess he gave a, you know, he had, I don't know, 75 camels. So he gave her 37.5 camels. Yeah. So Rashba said something incredible. The Rashba says that in order for agav to work, even if you don't own the land, even if you just rent the land, you could sublet the land, even giving over land that you rent. And, continues the Rashba, even a makom kavua in the shul or a beis medrash, even that suffices as giving over your land, that could be the ikker to tack onto it, to piggyback onto it, to piggyback onto it, the tafel of the metatlin. So Rafael, you told me you don't necessarily own land, but do you have a makom in your base medrash? Of course you do.
Actually,
just say yes.
In this situation, if that's what it's totally on, you know, we were like in the Heights Lounge, for example, and we weren't really given a makom. I hope it wasn't totally on that because we didn't have any makom, but. Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Yeah, I do.
Fine. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. So you have a makom from the Rashba. This is again the Chiddush of the Rashba. The Rashba says you don't really have to really, really own land. It's enough if you have some rights to the land, even as a makom kavu in a shul or a base medrash. That's sufficient to of an ownership of land to give that right over to the buyer, and alongside that, to piggyback onto that, the metaltolin. That's what the Rashba. So we did try to help put Agav back on its feet, although we do have this fundamental problem that Agav is only Drabanan. How could it work for Kinei D'Oraisa? We have our very complicated Lamdisha answer of Rishon Mishkap. But you realize that it's still not perfect. So we're going to do another Kinyan. We're going to do another Kinyan, and that is... one second... Fine. We're going to now do Kinyan Chalipin. In addition to Kinyan Kesef, Mashiach is not possible, so we have to do Chatzir also, and Agav also. And now we're going to introduce another Kinyan, Chalipin. Why is Chalipin good? Chalipin's really great because you don't have to have any karka. Chalipin is good because you don't have to lift anything up. Chalipin, you could transfer anything you want anywhere in the world just by lifting up a handkerchief. So, for
Isn't
example,
Kinyan Agav also you don't need a
Kinyan Agav. You have to transfer land. You have to have land, like we just spoke about. Okay, the Rashba's
makom.
But
you can do it from anywhere. No,
you can. Like, yeah, that's true. You could do it from anywhere. That's correct. Yeah, Kinyan Chalipin is the easiest Kinyan of the world. Anywhere you're standing, all you need is any. I did a Chalipin with somebody recently. Where was I? Yeah. I had, unfortunately, I have another burial today, but a burial, I had somebody in my shul lost a parent a week ago, and he owns a business. And the halacha is that during Shiva, your business is not allowed to operate. And he owns this business, and he has employees, and the business, he's not going to be able to just be able to close down his business. So before he started Avelis, I have a shtar mechira for an onain, and he sold his business to, not to a guy, but to me. So I bought a business. Now, I want to tell you, I've owned businesses in the course of my rabbinate. I've been a multimillionaire so many times. I owned one business. I don't want to tell you how much money it was worth. I owned a business that was literally worth like $100 million. I sold it back to him after his avelis for like $20. But or maybe it was $5, $20. But at least for that week, I was I literally owned a $100 million business. Someone in my shul has a big business, very successful business, and he was an avelis. So I had to buy the business from him because it's a whole network of distributions and whatever. He couldn't just close it up for a week. So, okay. So I had this fellow has this business, smaller business. And last Sunday, he had to be makne to me. I didn't have the shtar available. I didn't have a chance to print it out in time. So he signed it. I did end up signing, having him sign the shtar, but we at least did a kinyan chalipin. All I did was I said, I was the buyer, so I just took out, take my yarmulke, my glasses, my smartphone, my jacket, lift it up, and I just bought your business. And then when I sold it back to him, the same thing. He just handed to me his yarmulke, his glasses, a pen, as long as it's worth a pruta, and I was marking it back to him, a $1 million business, $100 million business. So Chalipin's great. So let's just do Chalipin with the guy. Sounds good, right? Well, it sounds like a great idea, except if you look in the pasuk that is the source for Kinyan Chalipin. Look at what you have here on the screen, the pasuk in Rus. This is a pasuk, and I underlined the points that will, I think, make the question evident that we're going to have the problem that we'll have with Chalipin. Zos lefanim b'Yisrael al hagula v'al tumah l'kayin kol davar shelav yishna lo na'asan re'eiv zos ha'tuda b'Yisrael. I think you all realize what the problem with Kinyan Chalipin for Mechiras Chametz is. Although Chalipin is great as a kinyan in general, but it seems to be from the psukim itself that it's only for a Jew. It might not work at all for a guy. But we do it. We do it as one of the numerous kinyanim because maybe it does work for a guy. And we're trying to get as many kinyanim as we can to replace that one ikur nekuda that we're missing, and that is the mashicha that we need to make a vade kinyan daraisa. We need kesef and mashicha to get us out of our suffix, and we can't do the mashicha, so we're going to have to do all these other options. So we're going to do a kinyan chalipin. Yes, sir. What's your question, Phil?
Is there any evidence that it would work for a guy? It seems pretty mefarish that I guess it's not in the Torah. It's in the Chumshei Torah, but it says be Israel twice. Like, is there any source that says it works for a guy?
The Mishnah Berurah passes that it does work for a guy. That's this Mishnah Berurah right here.
Yeah.
So the poskim assume. I just set it up, you know, for the purpose of for educational purposes in a very stark way. But yeah, the poskim do assume that a kinyan chalipin could work for a guy. So we do a kinyan chalipin. I'm just showing you what the problem is with chalipin is, which is why you have to do or each kinyan that we're trying to do to replace the mashicha. That the only thing we know bevaday that will work is if you do kesef plus mashicha. If you do kesef plus mashicha, it worked. But since we can't do Mashiach in our new model of selling that we've been doing since the time of the Bach, where the Gaim don't lift up everything, we have to find some other kin to replace Mashiach. And therefore, we introduce Chatzer had its problem. Agav had its problem. Chalipin has its problem. So now I'm going to go to do yet another Kinyan. I'm going to do what's called Kinyan Situmta. Kinyan Situmta. I don't have any sources on this. Kinyan Situmta is a machlokas, what Situmta means. One of the opinions says that it was when I was selling wine, we would put let's say you wanted to designate this would be your bottle of wine, your barrel of wine. Even though you'd leave it in my office, in my basement, in my wine cellar, we'd put a seal on it that said, you know, this is the property of Brian, this is the property of Tovio, this is the property of Rabbi Yosef. And that would be the kin. Once the seal was put on, it's yours. However, Rabbi Nachmanel says that it's something else. That's a handshake. Handschlag, I think the Achronim say. Handschlag. A handshake. Because in many businesses, what determines the many industries, forget about what halacha says, forget about what the law books say. Let's look at how people work in the industry. There are many industries that if you shake your hand, that's a deal. For example, if you are on the diamond exchange, I don't know how things are now, but 30 years ago, on the diamond exchange, what was the formulation of a diamond deal? A handshake, and you said the words. Anyone know the two words you said? On the diamond exchange. None of you have any relatives in the diamond business?
Mazal ubracha.
Thank you. You shook your hands on the diamond exchange, you said two words. Mazal ubracha. Okay? Handshake plus mazal ubracha means the deal was done. So in that industry, that is a kinyan. So the Rabbi Hananel says that that's what kinyan situmta is. Kinyan situmta is whatever is the prevailing industry standard of acquisition. So if in your industry it's a handshake, in a diamond industry it's a handshake with saying the words mazal bracha. If in a different end it's signing on the bottom of when you sign, did you hear me say the word shtar today? As far as being makna metaltalin, shtar doesn't work for metaltalin. Gentlemen, in America, how do you buy a car? How do you lease a car? You sign the dotted line. You sign the deed. You sign the lease contract. So in America, the way you buy metaltalin, a car is metaltalin, is with a shtar. Shtar doesn't work. D'oraisa d'rabanan for metaltalin. Shtar works for karka, not for metaltalin. Yet, since in our industry, in our world, the industry standard for the way transactions take place for cars or leases is through signing a document, maybe a shtar could work not as a shtar could work for a car, not as a kinyan shtar, but as a kinyan situmta, meaning whatever the industry standard is. So you know what we do when we sell the chametz to the guy? Besides all the other kinyanim, we give a handshake. We shake hands with the Gentile. Why? To fulfill this additional type of kinyan, a kinyan situmta, which is, you know, a handshake to show that we're being makna the chametz to the guy.
Can't do it with COVID.
Right. During COVID, I think there were some rabbanim who wore a glove. Last Pesach, some rabbanim wore a glove. Yeah, COVID actually did change Mechiras Chametz a tiny bit, certainly as far as the authorization is called, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But there is it's not so clear that Situmta has two problems. First of all, it's only Kinyan Darabanan who says that the Kinyan Darabanan will work for Mechius Chometz, which needs the Kinyan Daraisa. Furthermore, there are some Rishonim who say that Situmta meant something different. Situmta doesn't mean you do whatever the industry standard is. Situmta was you actually handed something over to the guy. And a certain object, a very thing, a Situmta, I don't know what that Situmta object was. You handed some object called the Situmta over, and that would make the Kenyan. I don't know what that is. Maybe we don't have Kenyan Situmta. So we do all of these different Kenyanim with the hope of one of them working. There's yet another Kenyan. And with this, we'll finish this part, and then we'll just get into the very practical aspects. We do, the Ktsos says, you know what you should do? You do say a Kenyan, we do a Kenyan called a Kenyan Odisa. Odisa from the word Hoda'a. If you declare in front of a Beis Din, or in front of three people, I guess, I hereby am makna XYZ to Brian, guess what? XYZ now belongs to Brian. How? Excuse me, by virtue of the fact that I was moda in front of three people that it belongs to you, that makes it belong to you. So let's review. If I want to be makna chametz to a Gentile, what do I need to do? Machlokas kinyan or kesef. So I have to do both kinyan and kesef. That worked great for all of history until the Bach. When the Bach came around and people started having to sell their entire basement, Mashiach was impossible. So I can no longer do, I do kesef, but I can't do Mashiach because it's just improbable and not functional. So instead of Mashiach, I had to introduce a whole bunch of other kinyanim, and I hope that one of those kinyanim will work to take the place of the Mashiach that I can't do for technical reasons. So I end up doing kesef, and I do chalipin, and I do odisa, and I do situmta, and I do agav, and I do chatzer. We do a total of six kinyanim to hope that one of them worked and to ensure that I hopefully, at least not all of them necessarily worked, but hopefully through doing six of them, at least one of them worked completely to be makna the chametz to the guy. That's the first part. That's the main part of the shir. What I'd like to do now is talk about some very technical details as to how the Kenyan, how the Mechius Chametz operates. Yes, Brian.
Yes, sir. I didn't catch. Are there any issues with the Kenyan Hodisa regarding Mechius Chametz?
It might also be the question that it might only be Drabanan. I'm not sure. I'm not presenting any specific, you know, it might only be a Kenyan Drabanan who's to say that it works for Daraisa. It might be some other issues, but we'll leave it for now. Now, many times your balabatim will be very frustrated, or not frustrated, but amused, and think that Kinyan and Mechius Chametz is a joke. Why? Because when you sell something, if you sell a car, you get $20,000. You sell a house, you get $1 million, $500,000. How come when I sold my $5,000 of liquor, I didn't get a penny? Right? So let me explain to you just very technically how the Mechius Chametz operates from a technical perspective. And hopefully you'll be able to explain this to your balabatim so they will realize that it actually does work entirely. Now, when you buy something, you go to Macy's and you buy a couch. So the couch is $1,000. You give them $100 down payment and you take a layaway plan and you'll give them $100 for the next 9 months. And by the end of the year, you'll have paid for the couch. Okay, so they deliver the couch tomorrow. You paid $100, they'll deliver the couch to you tomorrow. Right now, how much of the couch do you own? Do you own 1/10 of it because you paid $100 down payment? Or do you own the entire couch?
The entire couch.
Of course, you own the entire couch from immediately right now. Why? Because you gave the down payment. Once you gave the down payment, what's called a Kinyan Kesef, let's say, there's a lot of lumpiness in this, but you gave the Kinyan Kesef, that was like the down payment, and the remaining $900 that you owe for the couch is not the money of sale. That becomes what we call Zakif Alav Vimilva. That turns into a loan, and now you have an outstanding balance of $900. When is this $900 due? Well, $100 is due on the 30th day of every month for the next 9 months. But you own it already. You own the couch, and the couch is entirely yours from right now. You just now have a credit of $900, an outstanding, like when Experian or Transpedia, TransUnion looks up your credit score, they know that you owe somebody $900. That's not terrible. I have a couch. I'm happy I have a couch. So yeah, I do have an outstanding debt of $900. Okay. Now we get very creative when we do a Mechius Chametz. What we do with Mechius Chametz is you sell the guy, let's say, again, you have a $10,000 liquor collection. Let's talk about the chutzpah of one person. You sell the guy a $10,000 liquor collection. What does he give you on the day of the sale? Well, he gives you $1 to rent the room where the liquor is, the basement. And he's going to give you another dollar to buy all of your liquor. That's the kinyan kesef. What's happening? You have sold to him all of the liquor. He gave you $1 of it. How much does he owe you? He owes you $999. I'm sorry, $9,999. When is that payment due? You could decide whatever you want. It's a milveh. So the rabbis and the congregational rabbis figure out a very good time for the payment to be due is the night after Pesach, when everyone's, you know, running to the pizza store. Right before they run to the pizza store, that's when the $9,999 is due. Now, okay, the night after Pesach comes, what does the guy have to do? He has to give you $9,999. What else could he do if he doesn't have that kind of money, liquid cash, available to pay you for the chametz that he bought from you and the outstanding balance that he owes you for the chametz that he bought from you a week ago? What else could he do?
Give my chametz back?
Yeah. He could just give the chametz back as shavik kesef kekesef. You told me that he bought $10,000 of chametz. He paid one. He could just give you back $10,000, not in cash, of chametz. And that will be the way that he is paying back his outstanding debt. In other words, when he gives back the chametz, he's not really giving you back that which is yours. It was entirely his the whole time. And he only owed you $9,999 for the entire week of Pesach. Now he's paying you back $9,999, not in dollar bills, not in quarters, not in dimes, not in nickels, not in pennies, although that would be really annoying. He could, right? It's legal tender. If he wants to pay you back $9,999 in pennies, he could do it. But instead of doing it in pennies, nickels, dollars, or quarters, or a check, he's doing it with Cheerios and black label Johnny Walker. A lot of it. And that's how he pays back the money that he owes you for the chametz that he bought. That's one point. Yes, Brian.
Yeah, how is he makne it back to the Jews?
After Pesach, he meets with the rabbi, and the rabbi does another suit, the opposite kinyanim. Not all of it. We're a little bit more makel after Pesach because the risk of mechiras chametz is not as severe. We do a few of the kinyanim. We do a kinyan chalipin, and they'll shake hands. Maybe they'll, you know, they'll maybe, I don't know. They usually don't use a shtar, but they do some of the kinyanim on the opposite direction to do the exact same thing in the opposite direction. Before chametz, we transfer the chametz from Jew to Gentile. After Pesach, he'll repay his loan, his outstanding loan, by taking the chametz and using that as the repayment, as the money, transferring that to the Jew. Now, what I'd like to show you is two documents right now. And we'll finish with that. Oh, no, 1 second. Let me show you those documents. No, 1 second, 1 second. Hold on. So the documents that I want to show you are the actual shtar. Oh, I forgot. We also do a Kenyan shtar when we give it to the guy, but the shtar is actually doesn't work for the metalton. The shtar works for giving the land. Maybe we also do shtar. This is an agreement that you have on your sort in your emails. That's an agreement between the seller, which is the rabbi who's representing his congregation, and the guy who's the buyer. And if you look at what's happening here, there can be two things that are happening. First, well, I don't want to go through this. You'll be able to go through this document and you'll be able to see the fact that this document outlines all the different kinyanim that is happening. Kinyan Agav, Kinyan Chalipin, Kinyan Chatzer, Kinyan Kesef, Kinyan Shtar, Kinyan Situmta. Fine. That's one thing to see. What I want to show you is what you as a rabbi need to be familiar with. This is what I do when I sell my chametz to the guy. When I sell my congregation's chametz to the guy, it's called an authorization form. An authorization form is in English also known as a power of attorney. When you go to the rabbi and sign a little piece of paper that says you're asking the... Oh, I didn't share it with you. One second. Sorry. This is an authorization. Shall I, the undecided, fully empower Rabbi Uri or Elian or someone he desires, designates to act in my power and in my stead? That's called power of attorney. You, the congregants, are making the rabbi the attorney, the power of attorney, the shliach, to sell the chametz wherever it is located. And I am very clear in the way I write on my document. I not only sell the chametz, but I also lease the place where the chametz is owned. Why do I lease the places where the chametz is owned? For two reasons. Number one, because the Bach says that you have to get chametz. Chametz is not allowed to be in your house, so you want to make it his house. And secondly, you want to lease the chametz, the location where the chametz is, so that he could do a kinyan chatzer. And thirdly, so that as you're transferring the property to him, he could do a kinyan agav by taking the land along with the chametz. That will be three reasons why you want to lease the land besides sell the chametz to the guy. Now, if there's a different time zone, you have to take that into account, because if the Balabas is going to be in Eretz Yisrael, so it's Pesach earlier for him, and you're going to have to sell, you're going to have to get rid of this chametz for him the day before. So we do actually two Mechiras chametz. We do the Mechiras chametz the night before for the people in Eretz Yisrael, and we do a regular Mechiras chametz on the morning of Mechiras chametz, on the morning of Bir chametz for the regular people in the shul. On the other hand, if you have people in, if I'm in New York and I have Balabatim in Los Angeles, so my Pesach is ending while it's still Pesach for them. That means I'm going to be buying back the chametz from the guy when it's still Pesach for my Balabatim. That means he's going to be owning chametz on Pesach, right? So I tell them, if you're going to be in Los Angeles, in Arizona, in Utah, whatever it is, if you're going to be anywhere west, and I'm finishing Pesach and buying back the chametz from the guy earlier than your Pesach is over, it's still Pesach for you, have in mind that at the end of Pesach, you are not being kona back the chametz until your Pesach is over. And you just have in mind that I don't want to be kona it until my Pesach will be over. And that's why it's important to know where your balabatim will be. Okay, gentlemen, obviously a lot more to talk about, but Be'ezus Hashem, we should all be zocha to fulfill the mitzvahs properly. And